Further, we can also say that dukkha arises because of the concocting of sankhara, because of the cooking up of the mind by sankhara, there arises dukkha. When the Buddha has said that sankhara is the supreme dukkha. And so, in talking about dukkha, we can mention four, we can give four responses. But in fact, it's all the same thing. All these four responses differ in literal meaning, but are talking about the same fact. The origin of dukkha happens through all of these things, all of them together. It just depends on exactly which angle we look at things, or if we take the most immediate cause or causes which are a little further, a little bit preceding. So we can say the cause of dukkha is ignorance. The cause of dukkha is the concocting of sankhara. We can say the cause of dukkha is craving, or the cause of dukkha is attachment. The most immediate is attachment, and a little further, a little before that is craving. And the most original originating cause of dukkha is ignorance. We're talking about one thing. It's all the same process. So please don't think there's any contradiction or conflict between these various responses. In talking about the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha himself said specifically that dukkha is the origin of dukkha. The direct cause of dukkha is dukkha, or craving, thirst. But then if we ask, well, where does craving come from? We answer, ignorance. Craving comes from ignorance, from not knowing things according to truth. And so why not, then we can just say that dukkha comes from ignorance. Or we say, well, in what way does craving, or in what way does dukkha result from craving? And we must say that through craving there is upadana, and then there is dukkha. There must be upadana coming out of that craving in order for there to be dukkha. If there's no ignorance, there's no dukkha. If there's no upadana, there's no dukkha. And then all this activity of ignorance, of craving, of upadana, all this activity is called sankhara, this complete concocting, this busy concocting is called sankhara. And so it's just as correct to say that dukkha comes from sankhara. Dukkha arises out of sankhara. So we can use these different responses, but there's no contradiction. It's all talking about the same thing. In fact, there are more than just these four words. There are quite a few other things that are involved that we could say are the origin of dukkha, the cause of dukkha. But these four words are enough, because all the other things are directly related, are implied, are included within these four. If we'd like, in fact, to just gather it all together into one word, it all comes down to that dukkha originates from dukkha, the origin of dukkha is tanha. If we want to just bring it down to one word, we use the word tanha, craving. And craving simply means desire through the power of ignorance. When there is desire because of, through, with ignorance, this is tanha. Most, or put it more bluntly, stupid desire, foolish want. This is the origin of dukkha. There are many other words we could use, but in the end it all comes down to just this one thing. This word tanha, or foolish want, is quite broad. If we use it in terms of God, we can say that there is the tanha that God will help us. And then even if God doesn't help us, we still want God to help us. There is still this tanha that God will help us. So we can use this word tanha, or craving, even in this way. And the reason we want God to help us is because we've got this craving over here someplace. There's something we desire and crave. And so we also desire that God will help us to get that thing that we crave. And so this desire that God will help us is coming from craving, from this tanha that we have. If there isn't any belief, any sense, any grasping at I and mine, then there's no tanha, there's no craving. There is still craving arising because we're still clinging and grasping at things as I and mine. Because there is still upadana, there is still arising tanha. And because there's all this upadana in tanha, we stay ignorant. And there is still avicca, incorrect knowing. So next we'll look at the characteristics of tanha according to the way the Buddha described them. In the Bali, the Pali, when the Buddha was describing the Noble Truths, he described tanha in the following way. The first is bonopa wika, means leading to a new existence. Existence here doesn't mean something physical. We're not talking about the existence of benches or even of physical bodies. We're not talking about the existence of, after this body dies, that another body will exist. We're talking about the existence that arises from craving. Every time there is craving, there is a new existence. If there's craving in this minute, then there is a certain existence. And then later, in another minute, another hour, if there is craving, there is another existence. We're talking about the existence, or bhava, that arises every time there is craving. We're not talking about a physical existence. So, in some minutes, we want to be millionaires with piles of money. If there is the craving, the tanha, to be a millionaire, then there is, in that minute, there is existence as a millionaire. Or, in other minutes, there may be the craving to be a politician with lots of power. And then in that minute, there is existence as a politician. Or sometimes we crave to be businessmen, and then there is existence as a businessman. Or we crave to be monks and nuns, and then there is existence as a monk or a nun. And so this is why Tanha is described as bono avika, meaning that it's every time there is craving, there leads to some existence immediately upon craving. There is an existence in some form or another. Sometimes a woman has wants and desires like a woman. But sometimes a woman has wants and desires like a man, and so exists as a man. It can go to this point where sometimes a woman exists as a man, and sometimes as a woman. And so this is why Tanha is talked about as pono bhavika, leading to new bhava. Bhavika, leading to new bhava, or new existence. One can go through all kinds of different existences in a single day through the power of craving. Even throughout a single hour, there can be a tremendous crowd of existences. And then in an entire life, it's just full of all kinds of different existences. The second, nanti rata sahatada, means being associated with, or tied up with. Nanti rakha. Rakha means lust or passion. Nanti means pleasure or satisfaction. And so what this means is a lustful satisfaction, or a passion for pleasure, a passion for satisfaction. Tanha is associated with, composed of, bound up with, this having a passionate interest in, a longing for, a lust for satisfaction, for liking, for pleasure. This word rakha, or lust, in Pali means for the mind to get so thoroughly caught up in something, so thoroughly imbued with it, that it's as if the mind is dyed by that thing. The word rakha can also be used for a dye, to dye a cloth with some color. When the mind is so tied up with something, so caught up in it, that it becomes dyed, D-Y-E-D, or imbued with that thing. This is the meaning of rakha. And nanti is a sense of pleased satisfaction. A sense of satisfaction, of liking. And so nanti rakha is when the mind has imbued itself, dyed itself with pleasure and satisfaction. And so now our mind, our heart, has been dyed, D-Y-E-D, not D-I, dyed by whatever it is that satisfies us, pleases us, by whatever it is we like. This is our problem. The third characteristic of Tanha is tatra pinantini, which means wandering around, liking this, liking that, means just wandering all over the place, liking things, getting infatuated things without any limit. Basically being pulled all over the place by our likes and preferences. Tatra has the meaning of this and that, or this or that, this thing or that thing. And so Tanha has this characteristic of being led of all over, wandering all over, out of pleasure and satisfaction and liking for for this and that and this thing and that thing over here, over there, endlessly, without any limit, wandering all over the place. All phenomena can be the object of craving. Even negative things, negative and positive phenomena can be taken as the object of dhanha. This is what is meant in tatra. This thing or that thing, meaning even completely opposed things, meaning positive and negative. So the word tatra, tatra, apinandini, means to be completely infatuated with, completely engrossed with this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that endlessly. So let's take a look at this. The first one is dhanha creates a new existences. And then second, dhanha dies the mind with satisfaction in whatever it is that satisfies the mind. And then the third, being falling into liking and disliking of all kinds of things, of this and of that. Now what we've just mentioned are three characteristics of dhanha, at different kinds of dhanha. However, dhanha itself, which has these three characteristics, can take three different forms. The first is gama dhanha, which is craving for sensuality, for sensual pleasures, to get, basically craving to get. Then the second is bhava dhanha, craving to be, craving to exist or to become. And then the third is vipava dhanha, craving to not exist, craving to not be. So there are the three kinds or forms that dhanha takes: wanting to get, wanting to be, or wanting to not be. So it's quite easy to remember: wanting to get, wanting to be, wanting to not be. Wanting to get, wanting to be, wanting to not be. These are the three forms of dhanha. And what's really interesting is this third one, wanting to not be. In the Pali, this is another kind of bhava, another existence. Wanting to not be is another kind of being. If you get lost in logic, you may not figure it out, but when we want to not be, say, I want to not live, I want to be dead, that's an existence. Wanting to not be is to exist in a certain way. All three kinds of these dhanha are leading to a new existence in various ways. We challenge you to find a kind of dhanha outside of these three. Of all the cravings and desires that you have, we challenge you to find one that is different than these three. We don't think you'll be at all successful, but we challenge you nonetheless. Even somebody who wants to kill themselves, this is a kind of craving. In fact, it's a very, very powerful craving. The craving to be dead, wanting to be a dead person, is a tremendously strong kind of craving. All kinds of craving, whether in a positive way or a negative way, with a positive or a negative object, all of these still just come down to craving. Even if it's the craving to get rid of something, the craving to not be something. Good people have tanha, lunatics have tanha, the animals have craving, even the trees and plants have a kind of craving, but it's so subtle and refined that we don't even see it. Even the angels and celestial beings, if there are such things, have tanha, and the gods who are more powerful than the angels, they've got an even better or higher form, more reformed, refined kind of tanha. But all life is being sustained or is being nurtured on tanha, on craving. All these existences, all these different ways of being are nurtured by craving. If the craving is very confused and overpowering, then that person goes crazy. And so the existence, the states of being, come from tanha in this way. And then there is satisfaction. There is a pleasure in existing in that way, in that state of being. The first form of tanha, dhamma tanha, is related to sensual or basically sexual needs. Dhamma means basically sexuality. And so sexual desires are the core ingredient of this first kind of tanha. Everybody, all ordinary people have got sexual desires, and they express themselves directly and indirectly in all kinds of ways. This is the first kind of tanha, the most kind of basic tanha we find in our lives. And then we have desires for all kinds of attractive, pleasing things, things that are attractive to the eyes, the ears, the nose, tongue, body, and mind. All this desire for these attractive, delicious things is called kama tanha, sexual desire. And we're full of all kinds of ideas about what to be. So I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be all these many things. This wanting to be something, this is bhava tanha, craving for existence, craving to exist in some way, some various, well, many different ways, depending on the circumstances. And so just the thought of I am, I exist, this is the result of wanting to exist, of craving for existence. And then once one sees that being like this, being like that, existing in this or that way, that it's all full of problems, hassles, troubles, and difficulties, that all that existing and being is just a bunch of struggle, then one, oh, I don't want any of that. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to exist. I don't want to... And then there is all this craving to not be, craving for non-existence. Like 10 years or so ago, there was the one pseudo-Christian sect led by Jim Jones, and then they all drank poison in order to kill themselves. This is some kind of form of vibhava tanha, craving for non-existence. This is just another kind of deception of losing one's way. And you see it in many people. They get a little frustrated or disappointed, and then they say, oh, I want to die. I want to die. I'm sick of this. I don't want to put up with this anymore. This is happening all the time. We meet with a little disappointment or difficulty or frustration. We get depressed, and then we don't want to exist. We want to die. And some people, this craving for non-existence can be so strong that they actually go and kill themselves. When our mindfulness and wisdom faculty loses its way, then danha arises. When our sense, our understanding of what is correct and incorrect, of what is our proper duty and what isn't, when this loses its way, wanders off the path, then danha arises. Whenever wisdom cannot discern, is unable to see what is correct, then there will be danha coming up. So danha is when life has gotten off track. It's heading in the wrong direction. And this helps us see how danha comes from ignorance. When there's ignorance, when there's incorrect understanding, then life gets off track. The wisdom faculty gets derailed, and then danha arises. All craving, all forms of craving arise from ignorance, from a lack of proper understanding, from not knowing things according to truth. And so then we lose the way, and danha occurs. Every arising of dukkha is all, or every arising of danha is always dukkha. Every occurrence of danha is always dukkha. No matter how dukkha arises, or how danha arises, where, when, under what circumstances, every instant, every occurrence of danha is always dukkha. If the want, the desire, doesn't come from ignorance, then we don't call it danha. If the want and the desire is wise, then we don't call it danha. For example, if you've come to Suan Mok with mindfulness and wisdom, with correct knowledge and understanding, you've come here in order to study Dhamma and develop the mind in order to extinguish dukkha. If we've come in this way, then that would not be called craving. That's not danha. But then there are some who come looking for superstitious powers, and that's full of danha, and it'll probably make them crazy too. So please be careful to discriminate well between wanting with ignorance and wanting without ignorance. If our desire comes from a misunderstanding of truth, then it's called danha, because it comes from avicca. But if the desire, the want, is coming from a correct understanding of the way things are, if it's coming from wisdom, then we don't call it craving. And so then there's the saying, don't live through tanha, don't live by craving. You ought to live with mindfulness and wisdom. You ought to live according to mindfulness and wisdom. We shouldn't have lives that are run by, led by tanha, because it'll keep dragging us into dukkha. But instead, we should live. We should go through life living under the direction of mindfulness and wisdom. And in Pali, there's a word, a neutral word, that also means want or desire. This word is sankappa. It just means want or desire, and it's a neutral kind of want or desire. But then, usually there is added either the word micha, wrong, or sama, correct, proper, right. And so then there can be right desire, wise desire, as well as wrong desire or foolish desire. So there's a kind of want and desire which is correct and proper, and another kind of want or desire which is foolish, dangerous, and wrong. So we should be very careful about these kind of words, because tremendous confusion is brought about because we don't distinguish carefully. For example, danha always means ignorant. It's always blind and stupid. Blind want, stupid want, ignorant want, or whatever. We need to find an English word that includes within it this sense of ignorance, blindness, stupidity. The word sankappa, however, has no sense of being stupid or incorrect. It's completely neutral. So we have to find one word for danha which clearly implies stupidity and incorrectness. And for sankappa, we must find another word that has no connotation of this being incorrect or foolish. And so sometimes for sankappa, the word used is aim. But you can please think about this for yourself in English as well as other languages. Don't use the cheap and easy definitions, but or translations, but find the word that has the proper, help us to find the words that have the proper connotations. A word that's relevant here is the word hope. This seems to be a word that the Westerners are quite attached to, but in Thailand it never has had very much importance or meaning. But it seems that Westerners often like to live by their hopes and their wishes. And they've even come to Thailand to teach Thai children to have a life that's based on hope. And so the question is, all this hope, is it wise hope or stupid hope? Are they hopes which are under the power of ignorance, or hopes and wishes which are under the power of wisdom? We ought to be very, very careful about this word hope, because it could be a kind of hope which is just another form of danha. But then again, hope might be, or at least sometimes, might have nothing to do with danha. So in summary, danha is to desire to want under the power of ignorance, desiring through the power of ignorance. This is the meaning of danha. And this is the dukkha samudaya, the origin of dukkha. This is the source and cause of dukkha, this danha or craving through the power of ignorance and foolishness. This is the second noble truth, the dukkha
mudaya
ariya satya, the noble truth of the origin of dukkha. And so the subject of the origin of dukkha has come to a close at the same time that we've run out of, at the same moment that we've run out of time. So we finished both of them together and we'll end today's meeting at this auspicious moment.